Good morning, church family. This is Brother Zach Savitsky. It's an honor and a joy to have an opportunity to share some thoughts with you this morning. As you likely are now aware, we had to push off our gathering yet another week due to the increasing COVID counts in our congregation and amongst the community. As of this time, we are scheduled to restart our normal Sunday morning gatherings and all of our other ministries that we've been ongoing for the past 12 months, the morning of the 31st. And so on the 31st, we will have our regularly scheduled Sunday morning worship service. That evening, we also plan to have Brother Sean Coffey with us. And if you are planning on attending the missions trip to Viper, Kentucky, or are in any way interested in even hearing more about that, we're going to have a meeting that evening at 5:30 p.m. And also in terms of advanced announcements, the Friday before this, so this is Friday, January 29th, the church is going to be serving at the Hagerstown Rescue Mission. And so if you're interested in joining us for that, we'd love to have you to join us. We always go to be a blessing and always come back more blessed than it was to serve. And so I would encourage you to consider serving with us if you haven't done so, and if you feel safe to do so, please join us. And so our hearts are grieved at this point. As many of you are now aware, our beloved pastor and his wife Debbie have come down with the coronavirus. And so our thoughts are towards them. Our hearts are heavy for them and with them, and we're just trusting the Lord to heal them and to carry them through this as he has greatly in the past, and many, many others in our congregation, in our communities, in the world. There are many I know in our congregation who have come down with many different symptoms, and many have not even gotten tested because they're sure they have it, and they're just going to quarantine for the set amount of time. So our thoughts and our prayers are towards them as well. If you've been following about our friend Pastor Bruce Dick from Berean Bible Fellowship, he's been struggling with the virus as well. He's recently been moved to a long-term care facility, and it's been a long uphill climb for him. He does seem to be healing, but it's going to be a long battle. And so he and his family would certainly covet your prayers. For our time this morning, I'd just like to open our time with a reading from the Psalms. And then we'll spend a few minutes in prayer, and then just share a few devotional thoughts as we go into this new year. So I'm going to read some lines from Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I had went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, our hearts are grieved and heavy this morning. There is so much pain and anguish in the world around us, Lord. Many times our heart mirrors that of the psalmist. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? We know why. Because there's pain. And it's a real thing. And we feel it. But we also command our soul, like the psalmist, to hope thou in God, knowing that we will yet again praise him, he who is the health of our countenance, he who is our God, he who in the night his song is with us. You have blessed us far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have new life, and we have it abundantly. And for that we thank you from the depths of our heart. Father, I pray today for all those that hear this message. It's easy to pray for the physical needs because we see them, Lord, but the spiritual needs in these last days are so great. My heart mirrors that of Paul's as he cries out that we would be strengthened. We would be strengthened with all your might, Lord, in our inner man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints the vast love of Christ, that in doing so we would somehow miraculously be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, that you would give us spiritual wisdom and understanding to know what the hope is that we are called to. What are the riches of the inheritance that you've given us? And to even slightly begin to comprehend the power that you have given towards us who believe. Be with our church family, Lord. Help us to grow. Help us to grow in knowledge, in maturity, in love. Enlarge our coasts. Grant us additional opportunities, additional numbers. Help this place to be a lighthouse for the lost world and the community. At the same time, Lord, we do pray for physical protection for our congregants, that those who are sick would be healed, that the virus in their body would not spread any further than it already has, and Lord, that you would hedge a protection around our building and around our people and around our congregants, that no other individuals would come down with the sickness, and if they do, Lord, you would give them opportunities in that sickness to glorify you, to rejoice in you. Father, there is brokenness everywhere we look. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the leaders of our church, for wisdom and discernment and understanding to know how to walk forward in these trying times. We ask for wisdom for the leaders of our nation to know how to guide us and direct this nation, and to give them, Lord, that you would grant them humility and wisdom to bow the knee to you. First and foremost, to you. If our leaders would humble themselves and repent of their wicked ways and come to you, great things would happen in this nation of ours. And we pray to that end, Lord, that that would happen. We also pray for our nation, for unity. The political divide may be larger now than I've seen it in my 30 years. There are tensions deep and heavy on both sides of the spectrum. Help this not to be, Lord. Ease the tensions. Settle the flames. Help them to not erupt. Help there to be peace, where right now there is only enmity. We pray also for our missionaries, Lord. Many of them are also greatly impacted by this chaos in the world around us, caused by the coronavirus. Many of their ministries are on hold. Many of them, if they're on furlough, have not the capacity to raise support because their churches are closed. Many of them likely are also struggling with the virus or struggling with how to stay away from getting the virus, struggling in their financial world as churches are not able to meet. Doors get closed for the ministries and the missionaries as well. And we pray for those missionaries we support, Lord, that they would not be hindered by these great trials, but that your word would continue to go forth from them in a mighty and in a powerful way. And Lord, as we turn our time this morning to focus our thoughts on your word, I would ask, as always, that the truth would go forth, that your word would be used to increase strength, to open our eyes to sin, to cause conviction, and as always, to stir our affections after you. Be glorified in this time, Lord. We ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Our devotional thought this morning is called After Christmas, The Return Home. And the verse that we're really going to focus on today comes from Luke's account of the birth of our Messiah. It's from Luke chapter 2. And the one verse we really want to narrow in on is verse 20. At the end of the day, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Who do you find that you relate to in the Christmas story? We're so familiar with the Christmas story. It's so familiar to us, oftentimes it's even quotable. I had a teacher in college who would actually, every year, he would quote Luke chapter 2 for the congregation. The story is very familiar with familiar characters, characters that we even feel that we know personally. Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Herod, the wise men, the shepherds, the angels, etc. You know, most of these individuals are just part of the unfolding of the great drama that is that greatest story that's ever been told. It's been long foretold. These people are even acting in ways that are literally just fulfilling prophecy by the moment. You know, John the Baptist was the one who was preparing the way of the Lord. Joseph and his lineage was used in many ways to bring Mary to Bethlehem, right at the time where it was prophesied the Messiah was to be born. The Magi, similarly, used in a very almost mysterious way that their entrance into the region set trickling Herod's interference into the terrible slaughter of the children of Bethlehem. Each of these individuals is acting their own will in their own way, and it feels magnificent and great that there's these actions coming into play, and they're all culminating in the birth of the Christ child. And then we get to Luke chapter 2, verse 20. And the shepherds returned. The shepherds returned. The shepherds, I feel like, are my entry point into the story for myself personally. When I consider the question, who am I in the Christmas story? You know, each of these other individuals have great and active parts to play, right? Zechariah, who was the disbelieving priest, who was didn't believe Gabriel when he came to him, and so he was smitten with the silence the whole time of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And Elizabeth, that she was righteous, and yet she was barren, and yet even so, in that she was blessed with the pregnancy and the birth of John, Mary, and Joseph, and Herod, and the Magi, all very unique and special individuals. And I feel like many times, most often, I find myself just the average everyday man, average everyday person. And I find that connection with the shepherds. They were commonplace individuals. They weren't doing anything special. They weren't even necessarily looking for anything. They were just doing their own thing, minding their own business, keeping watch over their flocks by night. When out of nowhere, they were blinded by the light of God's goodness. So I want to focus our attention today on the shepherds, and namely their return, that after Christmas, what takes place. So let me read the verses referencing the shepherds. I know we know them well, but just to bring them back to mind, I'm going to read verses 8 through 20 of Luke's account of the Nativity. This is in Luke chapter 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word, which gives us direction and purpose and intention, even when we don't necessarily know where to go. Help us to bring you, your name, and your glory with us, wherever you may bring us. glorify yourself in this time, today, and stir our hearts towards you, Lord. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. And the shepherds returned. What now? What today? This devotional is scheduled for the day after Christmas. The Christmas season has come and gone yet again. The cycles of time continue. And where do we go from here? I believe the shepherds give us our insight today. Just as they do every year today, they say, there's three answers that I really want to draw our attention to in this one verse. Primarily, you know, where did they go? They returned. The return. How did they go? They went reeling, awestruck, joyful, overcome. And what was the reason? So the return, that they went reeling, and the reason behind it, the reason that what had been told them was confirmed, it was proven, it was tested, it was tried, and it was true. So where did they go? Well, they returned. Remember what we just read where they came from. Right? They were just out in the flocks by night, minding their own business, probably a few miles out of the little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was truly a little town. Scholars estimate a population of anywhere from 300 to 1,000 people. Not big by any stretch of the imagination. As a reference, Waynesboro is easily 10 times that size. However, it would have been swollen due to the census, as we know that Mary and Joseph were not able to find any room to sleep anywhere. Anywhere. And so these shepherds who were keeping watch in their flock, I believe they weren't given very much direction to go on. That says that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. I, for one, believe the prevalence of mangers in Bethlehem would have been tremendous. Don't believe there would have been just one or two places to go to. So the night purpose set out for the shepherds was a pretty substantial search party. They had to go through this town of potentially hundreds of homes, which likely many of them would have had access to some type of feeding trough or manger for the animals, until they found the one housing the newborn babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. So they did, and they had their part in the story, and it was tremendous. They go and they tell everyone everything that had happened to them. And at the end of the day, they returned. After personally meeting the King of Glory, the long-awaited Messiah, the young king who was to rule on the very throne of David, they return to shepherding. Shepherds who were the underpaid, overwhelmed, underappreciated. Shepherds who were potentially at the lowest pecking order of cultural society of the day. They returned to the grind, to the daily life. I mean, practically speaking, where else could they go? Were they to wait in the barn? Just wait for Jesus to grow up? Of course not. They had life. They had their own sheep. They had their families, their charge, their responsibility. I think we find ourselves today in a very unique season. Here at the end of 2020, not only ending our Christmas season, but ending a very unique season for ourselves and our lives. We too need to return to our charge. We each, whoever we are, we have a sphere that we have been placed in charge of. And how are we using that sphere? Have we been pressing into it consistently? Or maybe you have been a little bit like I have. I've been maybe coasting a little, waiting for something exceptional to take place, and maybe a little bit of both. But we need to return. Return to our charge. Your charge, my charge, whatever that is for either of us. Consider what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You have bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. The emphasis being this. We must abide with God wherever the Lord has called us. We must remain with him. We must walk with him. That doesn't mean that we aren't sometimes to move from season to season or calling to calling, but rather that we should not be anxious about it. We should not care for it. Care not for it is explicitly what Paul says. And in this, there's also a warning. Whatever sphere you or I find ourselves in charge of, in the vocational world, in the workplace, or in the positions of responsibility, the warning is this, that we must not operate as the world operates, biting and devouring one another. A dog-eat-dog world, as they say in corporate America, the business world. That we have to remain and be content. Yet after this Christmas season, and after the turmoil that was 2020, return to our calling. But consider again the shepherds. The shepherds, when they returned to their flocks, they did not return the same people that they left as. When they went home that night, they would never be the same. They had new experiences. They had been spoken to by an angel. They had sat under the angelic chorus that likely filled the heavens. They had met new people. They had new friends. They had met Mary and Joseph, the very Christ child. Certainly their quest for the baby that night would have left a stir in the air in Bethlehem. They had new knowledge. They went home that night knowing that the long-awaited Messiah was here. Righteousness was here. Freedom from oppression was right on the threshold. The same again being true for us today as we move forward from this Christmas season and into 2020-21. We also are not going to be the same people. We have all had some new experiences. Maybe like the shepherds, we've made some new friends. We probably have some new knowledge. I think it's possible that maybe some of the veils that had been hiding things from our eyes may have been torn away. I think it's also possible that maybe some idols that we've been putting our trust in have proven to be idols, to be made out of wood and stone. Maybe even we've seen some weaknesses in either ourselves or in our communities that we are now aware of, and we can strengthen them as we move forward. In any case, we can be sure of the two things that must characterize our return, and that is that we will return glorifying and praising God. Because that's exactly what the shepherds did. They returned glorifying and praising God for all these things that they had heard and they had seen. Consider a few verses from the Old Testament. Isaiah 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Have you not known? Have you not heard? I believe all of us hearing this can say, we have known, and we have heard. And that should change us dramatically, and it changed us in the past, and it should continue to change us today. Consider Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we consider the different individuals in the Christmas story, they had each tasted and seen that the Lord is good. The Magi rejoiced exceedingly with great joy when they saw the star. Even the baby, who would one day be called John the Baptist, leapt for joy in his mother's womb in the presence of his Savior. And Mary, after she received the confirmation from Elizabeth of exactly what is going on here, she responds by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the God of my salvation." The shepherds left glorifying and praising God. Glorifying meaning nothing else other than magnifying, making high, lifting up, exalting, praising God, rejoicing in our heart. All of the individuals in the Christmas story had tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And I trust that you can say with me as well, that we too have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that His mercy is new every morning, His grace is greater than all of our sin. We've tasted the goodness of the fruit of the Spirit that we can have and know love, joy, peace, and patience, etc. We know that peace that comes with the promise that all things work together for good for those who love God. You and I may not have seen the way that the shepherds saw. They saw with their physical eyes. Of course, we see with the eyes of faith. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are those of whom the Lord said to Thomas, said, "Blessed are those who believe, not having seen." And as Peter said, we count ourselves of the number where he says, "Though you see him not, you believe, and ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And why do we return glorifying and praising? For the things that we have heard and seen have been confirmed, proven, tested. This is our foundation. As it was told them. Today there is sinking sand everywhere. I don't know where to look in the physical world where there is not sinking sand. Physical ailments, societal issues, financial downturnings, political turmoil. However, even in this, we should not be surprised because the Word of God tells us to expect this. And He says, if you want foundation, look to the Word of God. Isaiah verse chapter 40 again. Verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of our God will stand forever. Just as each individual in the Christmas drama tasted and saw that the Lord was good, this also gave them the strength and the confidence to move forward. As it had been told them, Zechariah and Elizabeth, although both old in years and barren, now had a child, as it had been told them. Mary, the virgin, but now with a child, as it had been told her. And the shepherds, the very outcasts, to whom appeared the heavenly hosts, who were told to find the very Savior wrapped in a manger, wrapped in cloths, found it just as it was told to them. And is it any different for us? Is it not just as it was told to us that it would be so? Jesus fulfills God's promises. Paul says he is the yes and the amen to these promises. How many fulfilled prophecies is enough? Each of the individuals named in the Christmas story experienced one sign. And we have what they did not.
We have the full and completed canon of Scripture. We're not just given one sign. We're not just given their three combined signs. Not just 10. Not even dozens. But hundreds. It's generally accepted that Jesus, the Messiah, fulfilled somewhere from 200 to 400 prophecies written hundreds of years ago through all of the passages of Scripture. I have a list of 68. I will not read all of them, and I will not read the references, but I do want to read a lot of them. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. He would be born of a virgin. He would be preceded by a forerunner. This forerunner would prepare the way for the Lord. He would appear in Galilee. He would perform miracles. He would teach in parables. He would be a prophet like Moses, humble and meek. He would be called God's son, and he would also be called God. He would triumphantly enter Jerusalem while riding on a donkey. His betrayal was portrayed. He would be rejected. Specifically, when he would be rejected was prophesied, down to the very year. He would be despised, oppressed, silent before his accusers, mocked by people, shaking their heads, beaten and spat upon, hated without reason, hated without cause. He would become a stranger to his own brothers. He would be numbered with the transgressors. His hands and his feet would be pierced. His suffering would include thirst, and yet he would intercede for sinners. He would still be forsaken. He would cry out to God. His faith in God would be mocked. He would be stripped of his clothing. He would be cast lots for his clothing. He would suffer for the sins of others, and he would die. His death was prophesied in detail. Yet he would bring an end to sin. He would be buried in a wealthy man's tomb. Yet he would not see decay. He would become the cornerstone. The rejected one would become the cornerstone. He was prophesied about resurrection, that he would have an eternal kingdom, and that his throne would be established forever as a banner to the Gentiles, affecting people throughout the world, that his life, death, resurrection, and ministry would have a worldwide impact. He would receive the obedience of the people, and he would bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Jesus' life is just as it was foretold to us it would be. So where do we go from here? We go home. Surely it'll be a little different than it used to be, as it should. But we go back to our own individual spheres. We go back to our grind, to whatever our pilgrimage has brought us individually to. But we don't go back in grief. We don't go back in dismay. We go back changed in wonder, with our affections and our desires stirred in a new and a powerful way for the heavenly places. We go in confidence. We go in hope. We go in the confidence that he who gave us his son, who gave us redemption and mercy and grace, also gave us the freedom to walk in newness of life. And just as he gave us his son, found in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, if he gave us his son, surely he will give us all things. We go in hope. Let's go in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your devotional considerations. Stir our affections, Lord. Help us to see that whatever spheres you've called us to, we are there for a purpose. And we are there as a light in the darkness. As long as the light will continue to shine, Lord, let us shine boldly and brightly with confidence. I thank you for the trials that have been revealed to us over the past year. And I thank you for showing us that you are still on the throne and in control. And whatever happens in 2021, Lord, help us to return glorifying and praising God for what has been shown to us is our hope. Be glorified in this time, Lord, we ask in Christ's name.